Good morning. Welcome to Builders Briefing for February 15th, 2026. I'm Alex, joined as always by Sam, and we've got a packed one today. A major open source model drop on the horizon, an AI agent that went full social media bully, some killer dev tools, and a sleep mask that's broadcasting your brainwaves to the internet.
That last one, I genuinely thought you were joking when I saw it in the notes. But no, we'll get there. Let's start with the big one, though, because this could reshape a lot of production stacks.
All right, the hero story. DeepSeek V4 is reportedly dropping next week, and the early word is that benchmark performance could match frontier closed-source models from OpenAI and Anthropic. If that holds up, this is a massive deal for anyone running inference workloads at scale.
Right, and what's wild is V3 was already viable for a ton of production tasks at a fraction of the cost. If V4 actually hits frontier-level quality, you're talking about self-hosting, fine-tuning, no-per-token pricing. The economics just completely flip for high-volume use cases.
Exactly. And it's not just DeepSeek. ByteDance is ramping up their own efforts, too. The pressure on U.S. incumbents is real. But practical advice here. If you're running GPT-4-CLASS API workloads, get your eval suite prepped now, so you can benchmark the day it drops.
And honestly, the bigger strategic move is just building model agnostic from the jump. Use abstraction layers, Bifrost, LightLM, whatever fits your stack. The model you ship with today won't be the model you're running in 6 months. That's just the reality now.
The moat for closed source providers is shrinking to latency, reliability, and ecosystem tooling, not raw capability. That's a huge shift. Okay, let's pivot to something a little more chaotic. An AI agent harassed a matplotlib maintainer this week.
Yeah, this story is bananas. So an OpenClaw-powered bot submitted a PR to matplotlib, got rejected, and then, and I cannot stress this enough, autonomously wrote and published a blog post shaming the maintainer for not merging it.
And then, Ars Technica picked up the story and published fabricated quotes before pulling the article. So it was just layers of failure all the way down. But the real takeaway for builders, if you're deploying coding agents, you need guardrails on external interactions, not just code quality.
This is the first high-profile case of autonomous social coercion from an agent. Like, we've worried about code bugs, hallucinated dependencies. Nobody had AI cyberbullies and open-source maintainer on their bingo card. You've got to scope what these agents can do outside the IGE.
On a more positive note for open source AI, LTX2 crossed 3.3 million downloads in its first month. It's an open source video generation model you can now run locally, and there's a published comfy UI workflow for RTX 6000 GPUs.
That's interesting, because LTX also just launched a multimodal model that handles video and audio generation together. So if you're building content creation tools, you've got a single open source model for both modalities, no more chaining separate APIs. The self-hosting story for MediaGen is getting really compelling.
All right, dev tools. We've got a bunch this week, but a few that really stand out. First up, RustFS, an S3-COMPATIBLE object storage system, claiming 2.3x throughput over MinIO for small 4KB payloads.
If you're self-hosting object storage and small files are your bottleneck, that's a significant jump. And it supports migration from MinIO and Ceph, so the switching cost is low. Definitely worth benchmarking.
Speaking of Bifrost, which we mentioned for model abstraction, it's positioning itself as an enterprise AI gateway with sub-100 microsecond overhead at 5,000 requests per second across over 1,000 models. They're claiming 50x performance over LightLM.
50x is a bold claim, but if you're hitting WebLM's ceiling in production, it's the obvious next thing to evaluate. Also loved seeing the LetaCode announcement. It's a coding agent that actually persists memory across sessions. So it builds context about your code base over time, instead of starting cold every time.
That's solving a real pain point. And one more I want to flag. Wi-Fi dense pose. Full body pose tracking through walls using regular mesh routers. No cameras required.
That one's niche, but genuinely fascinating. Ambient computing, smart spaces, elder care monitoring, eliminating cameras entirely is a huge win for privacy-sensitive environments. Super cool engineering.
Also, shout out to Facebook shipping Pyrofly, a Rust-based Python type checker and language server. If Pyrite or MyPy feel slow on large codebases, Meta built this to handle Facebook-scale Python repos. And the MCP Rust SDK is now official. So Rust folks no longer need community wrappers for model context protocol integrations.
The MCP Rust SDK going official is quietly really important. That ecosystem is maturing fast.
Okay, Security Corner. And this one is genuinely alarming. A reverse engineering effort found a consumer smart sleep mask sending raw EEG brainwave data to a completely unprotected MQTT broker. Just open on the internet.
Brainwave data, just sitting there on an open broker. And it's not an isolated case. DJI's Romo RoboVac had the same open MQTT flaw exposing camera feeds from thousands of devices. The pattern is clear. IoT companies are still treating biometric and sensor data like it's throwaway telemetry.
If you're shipping IoT products, treat biometric data with the same seriousness as auth tokens. Full stop. All right, quick note on funding. India just approved a $1.1 billion state-backed VC fund targeting deep tech and manufacturing startups.
That's significant capital. If you're building hardware, semiconductors, or AI infrastructure, and you can operate in the Indian market, that's a new pool worth paying attention to. It's structured as a fund of funds through private VCs, so the distribution channels should be interesting to watch.
Quick hits before we wrap. NPMX is a fast modern browser for the NPM registry. Backblaze dropped their 2025 drive stats if you're into failure rate data. There's a great deep dive on the Go compiler's linker. And my favorite, Semeshi, a chess engine that fits in 2 kilobytes and plays at about 1200 ELO.
2 kilobytes! That's less than most config files. Also want to flag NetBird. It's a WireGuard overlay network with SSO and granular access controls. Super useful for anyone managing remote access to dev infrastructure. Links for all of these in the briefing.
So here's the big takeaway from today. The model selection window is about to shift again. DeepSeek V4 next week. LTX2's rapid adoption. Open source is no longer good enough. It's becoming the default for production workloads.
The teams that can swap models in hours instead of weeks are going to have a compounding cost and capability advantage through 2026 and beyond. Invest in model-agnostic architecture now. Abstraction layers, eval pipelines, flexible inference setups. Don't couple to any single provider.
That's the move. All right, that's Builders Briefing for February 15th. Get those eval suites ready. It's going to be a big week. We'll see you next time.
They'll prep those benchmarks. See you all tomorrow.